body.
Welcome to the shit show.
Things are going to get weird.
Get weird.
It's your fave villain, Kale Lowry. And you're listening to Barely Famous, fuckers. All right, we're back with Barely Famous, and I'm your Barely Famous host, Kale Lowry. Today, I have two guests, Lola and Megan. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you guys are the hosts of the podcast called Trust Me, Cults, Extreme Belief, and the Abuse of Power. Do you guys want to talk to me about this?
We sure do.
Okay, I was listening to a podcast episode of yours before we got here because I was like, I need to know more, and it was a narcissism episode.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Talk to me about the cults that you guys came from. Which one came from the offshoot of Jehovah's Witness?
Mormonism. That would be me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then?
Mine is a Christian group.
Then maybe someone else was an offshoot of Jehovah's Witness?
It might have been Lola's because she's kind of an offshoot.
It was a Mormon offshoot cultic situation. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Mormons
okay.
and Jehovah's Witnesses, very similar.
Really? Okay. When I was growing up, one of my best friends was Jehovah's Witness, and I went to Kingdom Hall with her while I was a teen mom, like I was pregnant. It was not a good idea. It was not fun. So I'll tell you about that after you tell me about your experience.
Okay. Well, I was raised a regular Mormon, or LDS, as we're supposed to say, to start as a child. And that was like, you know, just sort of regular weird religion, like 3-hour church and not allowed to drink coffee or tea or wear anything sleeveless or anything. But it wasn't I do not consider that part a cult.
Okay.
What happened was when I was 12 years old, my mom was divorced from my dad, went to a Mormon singles dance, and essentially was targeted by a man who just like purely coincidentally looked exactly like a man she had dreamed about prior to meeting him, when she had prayed to God to be like, you know, who's the man that I'm supposed to marry? So she meets this guy who just happens to look like the man from her dream. Mm-hmm. He's like charming her. He's like dancing with the old ladies. And to really, really condense a much longer story, episode one of our podcast, shout out, my mom is our first guest.
Trust me.
Trust me. Yes. basically, over time, he convinced her that he – and let me preface this by saying within Mormonism, there's this belief that you have you have the Bible, and then you have the Book of Mormon, which is an additional scripture. Basically, the founding prophet, Joseph Smith, he basically, as legend has it, there's like a portion of these scriptures that he translated from an angel that were hidden away to be revealed in the last days.
Okay, I vaguely know that from just like documentaries and things like that.
Yeah.
I like vaguely remember that story.
Okay,
or
cool.
Or like the... What would you call it?
I don't know what to call it. I'm always like legend.
Legend.
Lore,
yeah.
Myth,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It's like,
call it a myth.
Believe it.
Yeah.
As legend has it. Yeah. But basically, so this leaves room for all kinds of people, because the first prophet was someone who just showed up and was like, I'm talking to God. Mm-hmm. This leaves room for all of these different people, because a number of people have done this, to come out and be like, hey, now I'm the one talking to God. I'm translating the sealed portion of the Book of Mormon. So basically, this man preyed on my mom's beliefs, as he had done with people previously, and convinced her over time, with the help of additional people who were in on it, that he was the prophet of God. And I stumbled upon their letters to each other, and then I believed in him too. And he essentially separated me from my mom, and she was sex trafficked and suicidal. And it was actually a pretty horrific experience for her, and I didn't know what was going on. I was just like, I believe in the prophet.
So when you say you were separated from her, in what way?
So I was basically he basically told her that her – well, what he told her was that she had to put her kids up for adoption, which she absolutely would never do. So my brothers, a couple of them, went to live with my dad, and I wanted to still be close to her. So I asked a family from church if I could just like stay with them. But
did they understand? And they were like, yes, if this is from this guy who is claiming to be talking to God, it's fine.
No, because this was our secret. This was like, we were still going to regular Mormon church, and secretly, well, I think we had kind of stopped, but I had been going, and secretly we're like, but we believe in this. We believe in the real prophet over here. Even
okay.
though Mormons have their prophet.
So what did the family that you were staying with think?
I don't know. To this day, I'm like, what did they think was happening?
Yeah.
I think I think one of them reached out to me like years ago because I had written an article about it for Vice and he read it. And I think he was like, wow, I had no idea that was happening. I think they were just like, something's weird. We'll take care of her for now. But basically, my mom had this horrific, traumatizing experience. And that's a, you know, whole nother story. But a man came, knew it was all fraud, told her, and essentially got her out of there. And then we were able to get out.
How? That's so hard. I have a friend that was in a cult for a short time. And when you're in a state of like almost like brainwashing,
yeah,
you can't convince them to get out. And like yeah. everything that I was saying to her, she was not receptive. You right. know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I'm trying to help you, not fight with you. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
trying to tell these other people that she was like recruiting. I'm like, this is not what you think right. it is. This is a cult. Like yeah. what she, and I don't even think she realized it was a cult.
Totally.
And we haven't talked about it since. Mm. Like since she got out, which I don't really know how she got out. We have never talked about it. And so like, were you able to get other people out of it or no?
So at the time it was so small, it was like just us and like random people who we didn't really know, but now he has a bigger group, and actually a family member of one of the members has reached out to be like, what do I do? I can't get my family member like out of his grasp. He's taking people's money. He's to have them write their names into his
will.
His name into their will. Yeah. He's like doing the whole fucking thing, and he will be exposed and it's going to be a whole thing. But, So far people have like eventually figured it out, but he's a really, really good manipulator. He figures out exactly, because his like thing that he preaches changes. It evolves over time according to whatever he thinks will be the right thing that
people will listen to.
Exactly. Exactly. He's so fucking good at this. And that's the thing we talk about a lot on the show is like, anyone is susceptible to this kind of thing, just like depending on where you are in your life and depending on how good of a manipulator that person is, because right. they hide. You cannot tell. People think – we think we can tell.
Yeah.
And maybe if we've experienced it before, maybe we can see red flags.
Sure.
A lot of the time, they're just really fucking good at hiding.
Right. Well, it's like relationships with narcissists.
Exactly.
You think that you're so strong and you will never be the target for one of these mm-hmm. or – and then until you find yourself in the middle of a cult.
Or also my problem is always like, oh, they're really fun and charming. I can handle it. Like I'll just stay on top of it and not get dragged down. Maybe like right. have a little makeout session and have some fun. And then in a week I'm like, I'm dying.
Knees deep. Yeah, for sure.
It's bad.
So tell me about your experience.
Sure. So I just really quickly, Lila, want to add that your mom was like the perfect mom, which makes it even crazier.
Oh, the perfect
PTA mom. Like for her to suddenly be like, my kids are going to go live. It's really.
She wrote children's books. Like she was my best. She's still my best friend. She's the fucking best.
She's an angel. She's a literal angel.
But like super mom. And the only reason she would ever even listen to this person is because he basically held the idea of our eternal salvation over her head.
Right.
Like if she didn't listen to him, then we wouldn't be together in heaven. And that's like the ultimate nightmare. So thank you for shouting that out.
Yeah. Okay. So I was raised in one called the 2x2s. They claim that it doesn't have a name, but if you look it up on the internet, it's going to come up under 2x2s. And kind of like Lola was saying, there's a part of this religion that I don't think is culty. I think it can be, if you're choosing it from your free will, a super beautiful thing. They meet in homes. There's no churches. There's no money. There's no ministers in the typical way you think of it. There's people who offer themselves. It's called the work. And they go out 2x2s because Jesus said, go out 2x2. And they don't have any possessions. And they stay with the people in the religion. It's a pretty big religion.
Okay.
But it's very secretive.
Okay.
So I grew up in that, had to wear long skirts, my hair in a bun, no makeup, no jewelry, no television, didn't know what a John Stamos was, like lost.
Oh, wow.
What a weird example. I kind of still don't know what a John Stamos is.
I just remember somebody being like, have you seen Home Alone? And I was like, no, it's too scary. Like, because I just was imagining that that's what it would be, horror movie. And they're like, okay, so you're really petrified of people slipping on marbles and getting feathers stuck in their hair or something.
Okay, but the furnace scene in that movie is actually really scary.
It is scary. That's true. So, you know, just like completely separated from society in my brain, but then sent to normal school.
It kind of sounds like the Amish.
It is. So you're living like the Amish, but the point is they say the Amish are wrong because Jesus says be in the world, not of the world. So it's wrong to just go off by yourselves, according to them, and be good. How is that hard? You have to be in the middle of the world and show them what being good is.
Okay.
So extra humiliating for me. Wished I would have been Amish so I didn't have to take the outfits out on the town. But there we were. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what would you say the worst part of it was?
Hell, OCD. I definitely have OCD. That is hell-based.
Yeah. Do you have – is yours hell, though?
Mine's not religious, no.
No. Yours is like, I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mine is, I'm going to go to hell. Cause, yeah.
Can I ask what y'all's beliefs are now?
Yeah. I mean, you go first.
I am agnostic, heavily leaning atheistic, and like very pro-science.
That's... We have that in common.
Okay.
And what are yours?
So I'm a little bit more magical thinking-ish. Okay. Definitely spiritual. Definitely feel connected to something and believe in a higher power.
I love that you guys have this dynamic and such different beliefs because I – just growing up, I've always questioned just like a higher power and things like that. And I've had people really just be so turned off by the fact that I would question it or that I really don't have like a belief in a higher power. And they almost feel like I am like devilish. Like they can't like be around me or they can't be friends with me because of that, because it's so foreign where I'm from.
Right.
I don't really know a whole lot of other people that don't have a belief in a higher power.
Really?
Yeah, no. And I remember specifically when I got married, he was Catholic. He grew up Catholic. He went to Catholic school. He went to church. He was, you know, baptized, I guess, communion, all of that. And they were like, oh, your differences in religion and what your beliefs are going to be, you know, the reason why you guys get divorced. And let me tell you, that was never an issue. Wow. So I love this dynamic of like, people can have different beliefs and different
they
views
should.
And yeah. come together and have a great dynamic. Yeah.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. We make fun of each other.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fun. It's interesting.
All right, so you all know that we have our favorite photos from vacation, family events, birthdays, and pets. And I have a ton of pictures that I cherish so much that I turned one of my favorites into just such a cute, beautiful work of art. And if you want to get one done like myself or give a truly meaningful gift, you have to try First Art Gallery. They created a beautiful portrait of my kids for me, which I literally teared up when I got it. First Art Gallery do professional hand-painted portraits created from any photo at a truly affordable price, or you can actually combine photos of people or places that you love into one painting. They have a team of world-class artists that work with you until every last detail is perfected, and they have a super user-friendly platform that makes it easy to order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. It's super quick, super easy, and you'll also get the painting actually shipped to you with very quick turnaround. You can receive your portrait in as little as 2 weeks, and I can tell you that it's a very hands-on experience throughout the entire process. So I will post a picture of the one that I got. I absolutely loved my painting. And right now they do have a limited time offer. You get $35 off your painting. That's right, $35 off and free shipping. To get this special offer, just text the word FAMOUS to 69,000. That's FAMOUS to 69,000. Text the word FAMOUS to 69,000 and celebrate the moments that matter with a beautiful handmade portrait. Terms apply, available at firstartgallery.com/terms. Here's the numbers again. Text the word FAMOUS to 69,000 for a $35 discount code today. So we've got a different kind of sponsor for this episode, but not super unfamiliar, the Jordan Harbinger Show, which is a podcast that you should really be listening to. And I know that every day someone tells you about a podcast that you just have to listen to, and you just nod and say sure, and then you never actually listen to it. But don't let that happen here, because Jordan's Show, which Apple named one of its best podcasts in 2018, is aimed at making you a better informed, more critical thinker so you can get a sense of how the world actually works and come to your own conclusions about what's going on, even inside your own brain.
I started listening to the Jordan Harbinger Show, Kale, because you keep talking about it. So I actually took your advice for once and started listening. And I just love that each episode is a conversation with a different fascinating guest. And when I say there's something for everybody here, I really mean that. In one episode, Jordan talks to a hostage negotiator from the FBI who offers techniques on how to get people to like and trust you, which sounds useful and disturbing at the same time. Another episode tells a story of a cinematographer who discovered a lost city in the jungle and made one of the most important archaeological finds of the century. So he talks to such a wide range of people about such a wide range of topics that there really is something for everybody.
Definitely. And Jordan is always focused on pulling out useful, practical insights out of his brilliant guests. And we're not talking about pop psychology or wishy-washy self-help stuff here. The episodes are loaded with bits of wisdom that you can use to legitimately change your mind and improve your life right away. So if that's not worth checking out, I'm not sure what is.
We really enjoy the show, and we think you will as well. Search for The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So have you guys connected with other people who have gotten out of cults?
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Mostly what our podcast
is. And what is like the craziest story that you guys have heard?
Okay. There have been a lot, because we've had people from Heaven's Gate, Manson family.
Time out. The Manson family. Kristen and I, yesterday, out of all the times I've been to LA, I've never gone to see like any of the houses. We drove. Oh my God. I don't know if people are going to think we're weird. We looked up some of the houses and went to them.
Dude, I've done that.
Okay.
I'm so fascinated by that story.
Fascinating. Because that's actually who I thought of when it was like, when they brought you guys to me, I was like, okay, the Manson family. Because that's like a cult thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. How the fuck was he able to get these people to believe what he was saying?
Well, he had them on a lot of drugs.
Yeah. A lot of drugs. But then also just, if you're super sure of yourself, as a narcissist always is, normal people are like, I kind of don't know what the fuck is going on. You have an answer? Great. Let me know what it is. And I think people can get away with a lot.
That confidence is intoxicating. And one of the things that Diane Lake, who was the member, talked about on our show is that, like, at the time, everyone was in communes. Everybody – this was just, like, a part of the culture at the time. It actually wasn't unusual to be living on a ranch with a bunch of people talking about free love or whatever.
Right.
He just, like – had them on drugs and was more fucked up and shit got darker and darker. But initially joining, he was just like another one of the many people doing that, you know?
How crazy. Like we looked up all the people who were like involved and charged and things like that. And we're just like, how? Like, how does this happen?
I know. Well, and when you talk to Diane, she's so normal. And that's the biggest thing that's been like so – I guess awesome to see is like there are so many smart, incredible people who have these experiences and come out of it and they're like, I don't know what the fuck happened. I'm like a normal person.
Mostly smart and incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people even with like psychology degrees. And so, you know, people who you're like, you would never think that would happen to them.
My dad's a surgeon and he's in this.
Oh, he's still in it.
Oh, completely.
Do you have a relationship with him?
Yes.
And he's okay with you kind of stepping away?
No, that's why I don't use my last name. I mean, he knows I'm not in it, but for him to know that I think it's culty, a side of this religion is culty. You know, if people are staying in people's homes and they're men and they're not allowed to have sex, that can be a problem because children are there.
Right.
And so there has been many times when somebody's been molested and they just move them, like the Catholic Church. And those kind of things are super, super culty.
Yeah.
But sorry, I just wanted to throw that in and I forgot what you asked me.
You said that your dad was a surgeon, right? And do you guys have a relationship?
We do. Yeah. But he doesn't know that I'm doing this podcast. I'm trying to talk. I mean, he kind of does. I'm trying to talk to him more about it, but
he kind of does.
Yeah.
Okay. And then your mom, do you have a good relationship with her?
Love her so much. She's totally in it. They're completely in it. Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah. See, my dad is still Mormon, but it doesn't really affect our relationship at all because I don't consider my Mormon upbringing a cult so much. We just kind of don't talk about religion.
Smart. Same with my family.
So when your family see you today and you're dressed very differently than how – because I think when you're Mormon, you also have to dress a certain way?
Not as extreme as the 2x2s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it like off-putting to them when they see you dressed in however you want and, you know –
Not for me, because I've been pursuing music since I was like 9 years old.
Sure.
So I've been wearing ridiculous outfits since I was literally 9 years old.
Yeah.
But I think
my mom has probably never put on jeans or tasted alcohol or done any of it. And I have been half naked party girl, you know, doing a headstand in Playboy or something. Like, it's just been so insane. So, how I dress is very disturbing to my family.
And do you still go to like holidays and stuff with them?
Yeah. Yeah. I just got back from a trip from Texas with them, with my boyfriend. And it's so fun. We just keep religion
completely off the table.
Yeah. But then at prayers before meals, you know, they're like, just please help those who've lost their way, who can't.
The little shots. The little days.
Like, amen. Amen.
Don't know who that's referring to.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then when my grandpa was dying, he was just like, having a hallucination. And he's like, don't take Megan to hell. Take me instead. Take me in her place.
Oh, my God.
It's heartbreaking, these things. These are real beliefs to people you love.
Right.
And if I could fake it and do it, I would. But I can't.
Yeah.
So it sucks.
And you shouldn't, because you have to be true to yourself.
And I have to, like, my friend was just saying to me, Megan, do you want to protect your family who is – they're themselves oppressed by these beliefs. Maybe you can free them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you not want to share the truth to, like, young women and people who need to hear it? It's so fucked. But I had to just make the decision.
How did you guys make the decision and get out of?
I think yours was a little easier because your mom was like...
Well, to get out of the culty portion where we believed in the prophet, that was... weirdly very easy because I already had kind of experienced a lot of problematic men in my mom's life. They are just drawn to her. All kinds of extreme personalities, good and bad, are just drawn to my mom. She just has this presence and this innocence about her. So I was like, oh, cool. Yep, another one's bad. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to church, back to regular church a little bit after that. But I think just slowly over time, I was like, if that guy – can just be a fraud, then maybe the first guy was also a fraud.
We see a pattern here.
Yeah.
You said you have brothers. Are they still in the cult religion?
None of them.
No.
Wow.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah.
And are they all in?
She just left.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I'm really happy for her, mm-hmm. but I'm also like, oh, damn, now they don't have anyone to, like, have in it.
And do you have to, like, recruit people in the 2x2s?
It's not called the recruitment so much as it is spreading the gospel. They believe that if you are not told the gospel by them, you go to hell. So
that's fucked, because how many people – are we allowed to say fucked?
Oh, yeah. Yes, fuck is my favorite word.
Because how many people aren't
– how many people are not exposed to that gospel?
Exactly.
I've never heard of the 2x2s.
Most people haven't.
You're going to hell. I'm just kidding.
I was already going, so that's not to be feared.
But there is, like, a little thing in it where it's, like, I think it's just to get members really afraid of – because it's like, you know it now, so you definitely are going to hell if you don't do it. It's kind of a little bit
mm-hmm.
iffy for people who don't hear about it, which I was laughing the other day. I was like, wouldn't it be funny if I just never – I tried to never hear the whole story when I was little, so I wouldn't be in trouble. But yeah.
How interesting. I just – religion is so intriguing to me. Like, I'm so intrigued by it, but I just – there's so many different, like – facets of
it. So many.
When I went to Kingdom Hall with my friend and I was very much pregnant, I remember, like, her dad coming down the stairs for the first time and I broke a glass that I was holding because I was so afraid.
Wow.
Just because she was, like, warning me, telling me, like, how it's going to be when you go. The certain people have to sit behind the glass because they are, like, shunned.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, like, earn your way to come back in front of the glass.
You have to sit behind glass.
That is disgusting.
Like, if you sin, like, if you're sinning,
you have
to sit behind the glass.
That.
And then if you're not a sinner, then you can sit where you're allowed to sit with everybody else.
Wow.
And so, like, people know that you were
doing
things that you shouldn't have been doing.
My mom was excommunicated from Mormonism originally, which mm-hmm. is, like, part of that, the trauma of that process is, I think, what made her partially susceptible to the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was sort of the same thing, but not that blatant. Like, you weren't allowed to speak in church and you're not allowed to take the sacrament so people know if they're paying attention. But to straight up be sitting in a different area mm-hmm. is, I mean, intentional humiliation. That must be so traumatizing.
And, like, the elders get to decide, like, when you get to come back to be with everybody else. Like, they are, like, the judgment.
Don't get me started on random men making decisions for people's
elders.
Lives.
Elders, random old men.
Yeah, random
who have
old
the
men.
Weirdest thoughts on things.
Yeah.
Did you ever see, what is the, I think it was on Netflix, and it was about Catholicism,
I did. I've seen so many docs at this point that they exit my brain so fast, but I remember that one being great.
And it was, like, several episodes, and it was about the Catholic Church in, like, Maryland, Baltimore, and how they, like, hid so many things, and they killed a nun.
Right.
It was just, like, so – I feel like that was, like, very culty.
Oh, totally.
Because they were so heavily just, like, covering for each other and doing all of these, like, wild things, and you're just like, how do we let this go?
Yeah.
I just wonder that for Mormonism and also for the 2x2s.
I mean, every religion, I feel like, has the potential to get to that place because it's such an in-group mentality.
Right.
You're just trying to protect the people right. in your group. And you share this ideology that oftentimes is an end times ideology. The world's about to end, you know, that Jesus is coming any day now. And the second, you know, so the stakes just feel so different and people aren't necessarily always prioritizing the basic human rights of people who aren't in their particular part of the group or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, my parents are very smart and they would say, I would worry about pollution and cry. And they'd be like, Megan, Jesus is going to come back before anything like that happens.
Yeah.
And I would just be like, okay.
That was their answer to you?
Mm-hmm. And Mormons too. It's like the world's going to end any day now. It's like,
so like the people making most of the decisions in this country are very religious and honestly think it's about the world about to end. They don't give
so
a
why
shit
would they,
about the environment.
Wait, they said that when you were concerned about your pollution and health? And like when I think of global warming, your parents would tell me that Jesus is going to come before.
Yes. I think most people, if they were honest, I think most people unconsciously cannot accept death and they're just convinced that Jesus is going to come back and they're not going to die.
I think that's really what the common denominator is here. I think it's like it gives religion in general maybe are, you know, it gives people hope that there's something after death.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I want that hope. I don't have it.
Same. But like I would like it. But yeah. I even was telling Kristen yesterday, I was like, I've never even had like any type of paranormal experience really. And so I'm like, I hope for it one day just so I know that there's life after death. Yeah. But like so far I'm 30 and nothing has happened. So I'm just...
I had some as a kid that I clung to for a long time, and now I look back at them and I'm like, no, that's not what that was.
Don't tell Lola any spiritual experiences.
No, I want to hear them. I want
but
to
you'll
be...
debunk them.
Yeah, I get it.
I will take you on ghost hunting trips.
I want to go to the Cecil Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll feel something over there.
Yeah.
Because I... A murder hotel.
No matter what, there's some kind of, I don't know,
energy.
Things that happen
I don't
there.
Know.
Yeah.
BFB Hair. You guys need to try this. They launched 7 new dimensional shades. I fully, fully, fully recommend this. Kristen, she has done my hair and makeup several times. I know she's going to recommend them to you.
Yeah, I really, really recommend BFB Hair. I just love that they have the 7 dimensional shades. So you're going to find something that's perfect for your hair. I know, Kale, in the past, you've struggled with finding extensions for different hairstyles that have matched. BFB Hair makes it so easy. They are available in all clip-in hair extension products, the classic for length, fill-ins for volume, and up for all of your updos. And the shades have been in the works for over a year and a half. The team listened to customer feedback to offer shades that were needed, which we love companies that listen to what their customers are wanting and needing. And all 28 shades are shoppable today. BFB Hair has such a wide range of product offerings, and now more than ever, a shade that's perfect for you. They have a dedicated team of experts ready to help you with shade and product selection, so you'll get all the assistance that you may need.
I've done extensions for volume and also for length, and I think I'm going to try to do an updo hairstyle next. So I will probably be ordering those from BFB Hair. You guys are going to love it. I promise they're going to have all of your clip-in hair extension needs. But if you follow them on Instagram, you'll find some tutorials, hair hacks, and inspiration. Their Instagram is at BFB Hair. My listeners get 15% off of all hair products using the code BarelyFamous at checkout. They rarely ever have discount codes or sales. So this is an exclusive offer just for you. And you're going to want to take advantage of this. So that's BarelyFamous for 15% off at checkout. Enjoy your new hair. So do you guys carry anything from the religion/cults now? Like, do you guys follow – is there any little shred or, like, thread of anything that you still hold on to and believe today?
I love the values that my family has. So there's no TV, so they just play games. They're always together singing.
Playing, I love that.
Playing music, laughing. Like, the house is so alive. When we were in Texas, it's just so fun. It's great. I love that I value – friendships more than anything
else. Connecting outside of your phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I stand to do more of that.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I actually, to this day, I am 34 and I've never intentionally had a sip of alcohol.
Okay.
Which is not for any reason other than it's just like sort of left over from that. I will drink at some point, and now at this point, I'm just like waiting for
a reason.
Celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? But that's left over. I will also say, I do think that the LDS community is like very kind typically, and they care a lot about doing service.
Totally.
And, you know, growing up, everyone I knew was like really good at piano. Like, they're all about learning. Unlike Jehovah's Witnesses, who I think are a lot more like, don't do anything for yourself, don't excel in life because you just want to focus on Jesus. Mormons are very much like, how can I be the best version of me? And I do really appreciate that. And I think it makes a lot of people very happy. It makes my dad very happy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents are the happiest people I know. They are constantly happy.
How interesting that you guys are like out, but they're happy where they're at.
They're so happy.
Yeah.
And then it makes you not want to even
burst their bubble.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what would my parents are in their 60s.
Oh, my God. I'm like, no, give my parent and I love like a crisis, an existential crisis at age 64 or whatever. No, thank you.
The only thing is the 2x2s don't really promise you heaven at all. In fact, they say barely anyone is going, kind of. So I would like my parents to know that they're going to heaven. That's the only reason I would want to get them out. But anyway.
I just wish my dad knew that I was also going to heaven.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah. That's always nice.
Okay, so you said that you focus on music a lot. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so most of my life was pop music was my focus, my career and my direction.
Wrote a song for Britney Spears.
For Britney Spears.
Throwing it out.
What song was it?
It was called Ooh La La. It was going to be Ooh Lola, but then it was her song.
Be Ooh Lola. I was a huge Britney fan. This look was like a mix between Britney and Christina.
Oh, I see it. I see it. I love it.
Yeah, just call me Christina Spears. Yeah. You know what I mean? Baby One More Time. So, okay, you wrote a song for Britney. What else have you worked on?
I mean, I've been putting out my own music for years now. I actually have a new song coming out. But I have to say, over time the music industry, I wasn't finding it as fulfilling as I could for a variety of reasons. And I discovered that my real passion is filmmaking.
Okay.
So I'm a writer-director now. I've also acted for a long time. But so I've gotten to this place where, yes, I've put out music videos. I've had some songs that have done fairly well on the internet. And I've written songs for, like, K-pop groups and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really just feel so passionate about directing that I'm like, okay, I will keep doing music, but this is going to be like the thing I do because I'm passionate about it as opposed to the thing I do because I'm like trying to be a pop star. Like that just doesn't serve me anymore.
Sure, you know? Sure. No, I get that.
Also, I'm in my 30s and I'm like, who has time for this hustle anymore?
You never know. I feel like TikTok has made it like you can become an overnight sensation.
That's true.
You know
what
I mean?
That's true. But I've seen people who've had that experience, but then they're like sort of beholden to the like very particular formula that got them popular. And I also don't want that. I want to be able to evolve and grow and change. So, listen, I wouldn't turn it down.
Right.
But it's just also like I fucking love films. I love horror films in particular. But
what's your favorite?
I love the Funny Games.
I don't know that one.
It's more like art house, like fucked up thriller.
American Horror Story.
More European.
More acid.
More acid.
European, more disturbing, more European, more
when I think of disturbing, I think of like Saw.
Yeah, it's like that, but like if if someone with more European sensibilities made, it's like very subdued and subtle. There's like no music through the whole thing. And so it feels super real. I just like stuff that makes me feel genuine horror because I'm so desensitized at this point that I'm like, I need it to be such a specific experience.
Okay.
But anyway, that's what I love. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, to each their own. I find that so interesting, like how Quentin Tarantino and people like that like create these movies, like, and there was nothing wrong with them ever.
What, as in they didn't have trauma?
Yeah.
Like, well, they just
have, like,
that.
Normal lives, and then you write these movies and direct these movies that are absolutely horrifying, and, like, you just go about your day any other time.
Yeah, it's strange. I totally know what you mean.
You get what I'm saying?
Of course.
Like, how? You just turn on a switch, and it's, like, horror?
I mean, I think so. I read Stephen King's memoir, and he said kind of that. Yeah. It's a switch.
Oh, yeah. Stephen King's a perfect example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, how interesting is that?
I guess, think it's...
Oh, no, go please.
I think there's, like... I think it's something about, like, Well, there are different, actually, I think, reasons that lead people to it. It's because there have actually been studies on how people who do have trauma in their past find horror to be cathartic, because they're like, oh, look at all this trauma that isn't happening to me. And I'm like safe from what's happening on the screen because it's just on the screen. So there's this interesting...
I don't have that. When I watch something scary, like especially ID Channel, which I'm obsessed with, while I'm watching it, I think that someone is going to come murder me because I'm watching it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like they see me watching something murder-esque and they're going to come kill me.
Yeah.
So I don't have whatever you're describing.
Watching true crime?
Yes. Perfect I'm going to kill her. Exactly. That's exactly how it feels. I'm like, okay, well. So yeah, what do you do outside?
I'm a writer.
Okay.
Yeah. So I sold a movie. It didn't get made, but I'm making another one that is going to get made. I'm going to make sure of it.
Okay.
And then a podcaster. Yeah. I have another podcast that's more about spiritual stuff. It's called Superficial Magic.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'm mostly a writer. That's what
I also write a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff?
Mainly. Well, I have my memoir. And
amazing.
And then I also I've been through so much trauma. I'm writing a novel right now about domestic violence, and just narcissism. That is, it's based on a true story, but not so much magical fiction things. More like. Real life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love my life to be like a Lifetime movie, just because I feel like people don't know who I am before the cameras came into my life.
Right.
And they don't know like the things that I've seen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe I should write it into like a script, like a movie script.
You should.
Hell yeah. Or publish that shit and have
someone else do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll direct.
Yes. Perfect. I love that. Okay. So I have a couple questions on here for you guys. Okay, so are there way more cults than we know about out there? Do cults have a lot in common with each other? And I think the answer is yes. I don't know why I thought you were a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, shoot. So I didn't realize that Jehovah's Witness and Mormon was so similar.
I mean, there are a lot of differences, but people get them confused a lot. I feel like they're sort of the two Christian-y but like weird religions that are relatively big. And that they both like go around to people's houses knocking on doors trying to convert them.
So crazy. Is 2x2s?
Yes, the 2x2s do that as well.
I'm going to have to look it up in Delaware, but I don't think we have them in Delaware.
Oh, you totally do.
You'd be surprised.
So they're called meetings, the church things. You probably have 10 meetings every Sunday and Wednesday in your city. We would go to Germany to a small ass town, go to someone's house, get in the meeting.
In Germany?
Yeah, as everywhere. It's big.
But it's like hidden because there are no churches displaying it. It's just like happening in people's homes, like a secret society.
It's a secret. And they're trying to keep it a secret. And that's why I feel guilty keep talking about it. But it's doing some bad stuff, so I have to.
Eek. Yeah.
Boop.
I guess, I was saying earlier, the Amish or whatever was I didn't realize that was like kind of culty. I thought they're because they're all my neighbors. Like they build my cabinets, they build stuff on my house. Like had no idea.
Well, they don't educate them till they educate them to eighth grade. There's no way that they can escape, really.
But I guess what I thought was them trying to just like live before technology.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's actually a control tactic. It has nothing to do with.
There's no information.
Them wanting to live in a more simple world. It's them wanting to control people.
Right.
And they're,
Yes. I'm sure there are people who authentically want to live, or at least believe that they want to live that lifestyle.
Right.
But when you're not exposed to outside information and like.
How do you really make a decision for yourself?
There's no free will if you don't know.
People try to leave. They have an eighth grade education. They don't. They can't. They end up going back a lot of the time.
Yeah. Like,
they don't have any information that would help them live. In this reality.
Do either one of your experiences, do they have an out for you where you're able to go experience what it's like to be out of the religion and then decide for yourself? Or you just kind of have to make that break on
your
own?
Does anyone actually do that? Because we had a former Amish woman on our podcast and she was like, the idea of Rumspringer or whatever is not real, where they can go away for a year and party and come back. I don't know of any religions that actually do that. Do you? Like,
no.
in Mormonism, if you, go have having premarital sex or whatever, you'll get excommunicated. You have to, really work hard to be allowed back into the church. It's not like, go have fun. We'll see you after,
Interesting. Was the Jody Arias Travis, the guy that she killed, he was Mormon, right?
Ooh.
Wait, which one is that?
Remember the girl with the glasses who was crazy.
I'll show you.
The girl with the glasses. I'm going to need more information.
She is one of my favorite cases to watch her in the interrogation room. You will love it. Mm.
Did you hear about like the Chad and Lori Daybell case recently?
No. Mm-mm.
Where they killed her two children?
No.
Okay, let's see. Look him up. Travis Alexander.
I'm pretty sure he was Mormon. And I believe that she like converted for him.
Whoa. Whoa. Wow.
And then she ended up killing him.
It does look like that, yeah. There are a surprising – I mean, the thing is Mormonism is just like kind of around – so inevitably it's going to intersect with all kinds of cases. But there are also a number of people who started out Mormon and then kind of got extreme and ended up murdering someone. That's not inherent to the religion.
Right, right, right. Of course
but
not.
It happens.
Yeah. To any religion, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys know I love to talk about my life insurance. So if you're a parent, it's time. Time to finally cross off one of the most important things on your to-do list, life insurance. Fabric makes getting a great term life insurance policy for your family quick, easy, and surprisingly affordable. And I did this a couple years ago. I was just like, you know what? I really need to take control over this. I want to make sure that my kids are taken care of in the event of anything. So Kristen and I went to work and got myself a life insurance policy.
I love that Fabric is all online, so everything can be done on your schedule. You don't need to schedule anything or make time for phone calls and appointments, which none of us have time for these days. You can just apply online when it's convenient for you. It takes literally less than 10 minutes to apply, get your quote, and then personalize your quote to fit your family's needs, and you could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required, which I know so many life insurance companies require health exams, so this is super convenient. And their new lower prices mean significant savings over other providers with great quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, I love that. Fabric also has 1,600 five-star reviews on Trustpilot.com, and it's fully backed by Vanis Life, one of the most trusted names in life insurance since 1847. So you can feel comfortable knowing that you're getting a high quality policy that's perfect for your family. So I'm recommending that you protect your family's financial future with Fabric. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/barelyfamous. That's meetfabric.com/barelyfamous. meetfabric.com/barelyfamous. Fabric Insurance Agency policies issued by Vantis Life. Not available in New York and Montana. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
I'm Lola Blanc.
And I'm Megan Elizabeth.
And we're the hosts of Trust Me, the podcast about cults, extreme belief, and the abuse of power.
Now on Podcast One.
We're real-life cult survivors.
And we're here to tell you anyone can join a cult.
If you've ever dived headfirst into a new self-help program,
or believed wholeheartedly in a spiritual practice,
or even just trusted someone with your life,
guess what? You're just as susceptible as everyone else.
No one is safe, especially not Megan.
I'm the most susceptible.
We want to debunk the myth that people who join cults are uneducated or naive or broken, because anyone can be manipulated by a narcissist or feel good in a new group they've joined.
And we should know, we both have been.
Join us every week as we explore the world of extreme belief,
talk to survivors and experts,
and share our own experiences with cults and the abuse of power.
Don't be fooled, you might be next.
Get new episodes of Trust Me every Wednesday on Podcast One, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Okay, so there's a show, Escaping Polygamy. What are your thoughts on that? You don't want to talk about it?
No. So my mom actually lives in a traditionally polygamous town where the FLDS, fundamentalist Mormons who have all the wives, where they historically have lived. So that show kind of delves into that community and escaping. But I think some of those shows can be a little bit sensationalizing because the prophet's actually been in prison for like 15 years and no one listens to him anymore because they don't even talk to him anymore. So, there are a variety of documentaries on them. Some of them are sensationalizing. That one, you know, how do I say it?
It's halfway sensationalizing, halfway not.
It can be, yeah. I mean, some people I know have been on the show, and I think even my mom was on the show, and I'm glad they're at least spotlighting the, like, survivor stories, but there also are – it's just such a nuanced community where people want – especially now because the new show is out, John Krakauer oh, my gosh, it's got Andrew Garfield in it. What is it called? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
No, I have no idea.
Under the Banner of Heaven. Is about a fundamentalist Mormon community. And I was just talking to my mom about this. There are so many different offshoots that have so many different things going on, but people lump them all together and okay. say, "This they're all bad. They're all child molesters. They're all murderers," mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, there's so much nuance in that. And it's just kind of hard to get into a reality show, basically.
Right. Okay. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah. I would echo that precisely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's good though.
I actually haven't seen it.
It's good.
And some people think of, like, the Instagram life coaches as kind of cultish.
Hell yes.
So let's talk about
Hell yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Well, I can name two right offhand. Our favorite online cult leader, Teal Swan, is one of them. Megan made a pukey face, if anyone's
curious. Yes, in case you didn't hear it also.
Also, a man named Benton Helmasaro. Both of these people have done very well for themselves on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. And people just think they're another self-help person. And then meanwhile, they're basically encouraging suicide or like Benton Helmasaro. He just had a few different former followers come forward and say he was extremely abusive and extremely controlling. And there was sexual abuse going on, I think. So many of these people.
Encouraging suicide?
Well, she says if you kill yourself in this life, you're going to pop into a new one immediately with the same problem. So she's trying to tell you not to do it. It's like, don't do it because you're just going to have the same thing. But it's not a big deal if you do because you're just going to live again. And maybe that life will give you more opportunities to fix this current problem. So maybe you're right. Maybe you should bounce to the next one.
She has said things like, maybe you weren't meant for this life. Like shit like that, where it's like she thinks that she's being a good therapist or something. I think she genuinely thinks that, although she claims to have psychic power. And I actually went to one of her workshops and it was very
disturbing. And people believe this.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
And they're on Instagram. I've never heard of either of these people.
Oh, I have friends who they like follow a lot of self-help people. Teal Swan just comes up as one of the regular people. And, like, I think she really believes her shit, but that doesn't mean it's not harmful.
She said that she was sewed into a dead body when she was a child.
She was sewed into a dead body.
She believes she experienced satanic ritual abuse, which included, you know that scene from Star Wars where Luke gets into the, like, slits the creature open and slides
into
the body?
She does not look like she knows what it means. Okay. I don't either, but your face is really funny.
Someone will know what I'm talking about. No. She claims that this satanic cult had her climb into a human body that was cut open, which, like, just for sure didn't happen. It just didn't happen.
Where are her parents aren't speaking out against her at this point?
I don't know.
I just feel like if one of my children were doing this, I have four boys. I would not stand for it, and I would speak out against them. You know what I mean?
Well, if one of your children is that charismatic, I'm sure it would be such a problem to, like, not just charismatic, psychotic and charismatic.
Well, their fans could come for you.
Yeah, they can come for you.
Also, who knows what her actual dynamics were growing up. But yeah, she makes a lot of very bizarre claims. And we made fun of one of her videos on TikTok, which we should do more of. Because she does these videos where she'll say stuff like, knowledge is bad. She's basically saying like,
so, yeah, and you're just like, whoa.
But she's telling
her
you.
Her name is Teal?
Teal Swan, yeah.
Let me look her up right now.
She's very, very pretty.
She is. She's very beautiful, very odd, very monotone.
Like
strange.
The color teal?
Yes. And then Benton Helmasaro does these videos where he just like stares into camera to try to bond with you. And it is so creepy.
Mm-hmm. He's a snake.
Like this.
She's a best-selling author, it says.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
I'm staring into camera right now.
I'm going
to be
a
Benton Helmasaro.
Guess what, you guys? Today is Earth Day. This means it's time to love the Earth. But what does that really mean? It means to see, hear, feel, and understand the Earth.
And understand the
so
Earth.
So as to take its best interests as a part of our own.
She's sitting on the bathroom floor.
She also there's says she can speak every today. Language, but she's not going to show you because she doesn't have to.
Classic.
That might be wrong. She might just say she speaks five, but
How interesting is this? I'm going to like go in, down a rabbit hole later of her so that I can fully understand.
Don't get trapped.
Yeah.
She has almost 600,000 followers.
I know. It's like, TikTok has made her bigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm like sort of inherently distrustful of self-help people on social media.
Right.
Because as soon as I see someone being like, listen, this is the answer. This is how it works. You have to listen to me. I'm going to fix your problems. I'm like,
immediately. No.
You don't. What do you know? What do you know about my life? And I've gone on dates with people who are sort of in that world. And he's like, he acts so confident and like he knows exactly what the answer is. And then I'm like, you're a mess.
Literally.
Like, your life is a mess. You're giving people life advice.
I used to be a therapist, and then I would go home, take Ambien, blackout, and act like an idiot. And I was just like, why am I waking up in the morning and telling people how to live? I need to stop. This has to end.
You didn't think that it was a good fit for you?
No.
Why? Tell me more about this.
Because I'm insane. Like, I'm too, and a lot of the people selling this shit are batshit crazy. And they are narcissistic enough to not see it in themselves or be like, you know, charismatic, I guess, when we talk about cults, isn't necessarily a good thing. It means kind of...
I mean, if someone is charismatic, we've talked about this before. I don't
like people that, yes, yeah. Also same, yeah. But not because of a cult, but because my ex narcissist.
Because that's how abusive the charisma are.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the charisma for mm-hmm. me. Like, yeah. I literally just, if you are charming in any way, that is I
it
just
must
can't.
Be so hard for you to talk to me.
Wait, I have so many questions about this therapy. So, you just decided like this is not for me. I shouldn't be telling people how to live. Yes. But don't you feel like because you have experienced so much in your life that you are good to give people advice?
Absolutely. And I was talking to no one ever missed a session with me. I will say that much. Everyone would always be like, my clients aren't coming in, and I'd be like, oh fuck, mine's here again. I don't want them to be, but there they are. Because I did go through a lot, and I am not a judgmental person, and there is a lot good there, but. I don't think life coaching or therapy is necessarily why I would be doing the best.
My impression of you is that you're such a good listener and you're so good at giving advice, but that you would maybe take on other people's pain.
Oh, I would just bawl the whole way home.
Yeah. Like that's
– like there's like no compartmentalizing.
Yeah. So I'm also – I also do comedy, and that's where I feel like – I was just like they would be more beneficial going home and watching a funny TV show that I'm writing on than me just – crying all night because they're sad.
Right. No, because I definitely think for therapists and therapy, like there are certain therapists that haven't experienced anything. And then you're like, you really have no business giving anyone advice. Right. And then you have people who go through so much and it's like they should give advice because they've seen so many walks of life, so many different perspectives, so many experiences.
Yeah.
I hate giving advice. I never give good advice. I'm not the friend that people go to.
Like, oh, I am.
My advice is always somewhat illegal, but it's really good.
I love that. Just a little illegal, but it's fine.
It's like Better Call Saul of therapists.
So how did you get involved in comedy?
So when I first moved out here, this is kind of interesting, actually. Well, my boyfriend was an actor who was – that was another thing, like just on the stupidest CW show. And like just – he was a mess, an embarrassing mess. And so it was a nightmare. I can't believe I was trying to tell people how to live a normal life. But what was the question again?
How did you get into comedy?
Right. Okay. So that boyfriend had a friend, and his name is Owen Benjamin. And he's one of the best stand-ups I've ever seen in my entire life. Ironically started a cult and left L.A.
Wait, he started a cult?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I didn't know that. Did I know that?
Where are y'all both from?
I'm from Kansas.
I'm from Michigan and Utah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this guy that you loved, that was
loved.
A great comedian.
Had like 4 Comedy Central specials, got me into stand-up, like helped me write my first set, would take me on tour, loved him, my roommate, like this. And then we always were with gay people. We were always with Jewish people. Suddenly, he didn't think either of those things were
okay.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Yeah. It was. It's really, really, really sad.
Yeah.
And it's also. I mean, it's also hard to be sad for somebody who's said such hateful shit. But I loved him so much. So he got me into stand up. And now I Lola came and saw me do it. And now I have a lot of cult jokes. So
and then, how did you guys connect?
Through a mutual friend. Who is now writing a project about cults. It's a cult world.
So are you guys going to be part of the project?
Well, if it gets made.
That sucks. Like, you know when you work so hard at something and then it just, like, nothing happens with it? Like,
welcome to Hollywood, baby! Yeah.
That's the worst. I feel like that's anywhere, though. Like, I know. Anywhere. Yeah. It's the worst.
You guys, you just have to trust your higher power.
And on that note. But anyway, what are you guys working on now? You're working on a project that you said you're going to get it.
Oh,
get picked up.
Yeah, for okay. sure. Should I talk?
Maybe you can talk about it if you want. If you haven't announced it, then no.
I haven't announced it.
Okay, then no. We're not going to announce it here. We'll announce it on your own stuff.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
I just want to say it right. So essentially, I'm working on a cartoon for adult women.
Oh, okay.
Malibu RX about Malibu Barbie. She's a therapist and she's insane.
I love that. I love that. You could do so much with that.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. I just got my next short film funded. So I'm going into pre-production right now. And then I have new music coming out. And listen, if anyone wants to give me money for my cult horror feature, I'm available.
I wrote a script. Kickstarter or whatever. What do people use to get funding?
I used a crowdfunding website to do my to get my short film funded.
Cool. So I'll link it or whatever you need. Do you still have it?
It ends today.
Oh, well, this one won't be out in time, but I was willing to post it.
Thank you. But new music is coming out and I'm just, you know, I'm on the internet. You can find it all.
Yes. Is there anything else you guys want to plug before we go?
Our podcast.
Yeah, our podcast. Trust me. Come listen. It's
what really days fun. Do you guys release?
Wednesdays.
Perfect. It's Trust Me, Extreme Belief, and The Abuse of Power.
Trust Me. Cult, Extreme Belief, and The Abuse of Power.
Yeah, thank you.
From those who know. Oh!
Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.